Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I always tell people that life is a story. Every one of us can write a book. Every one of us has an entire lifetime of stories to tell. And back in 2009, I was never somebody who enjoyed writing. And back in 2009, I felt this urge to write my memoir. I had a great story to tell, just as everybody does. We all have a great story to tell, but I thought I had a really interesting story to tell. And I decided to teach myself how to write. So I eventually published that book in 2010. It's my memoir, Finally. But what I learned from writing that book was a couple of things. First of all, it was so, so therapeutic. I got out so much that I had been keeping inside. It's wonderful to be able to cleanse that way and get that out onto paper or, you know, whatever. But the other thing was I learned that I loved writing. And so now I just finished the manuscript for my third book, which is going to be about pathological narcissistic abuse, which is very, very different than the memoir. But my point is that I've made a progression. By opening that outlet of writing, I learned that it is an amazing, amazing part of my life, very creative, and I almost need to write almost every day now. So it's interesting. Tom Bird is with us today. He is the author of 27 books, including the number one Amazon bestseller, You Can Write Your Book in a Weekend. But he's going to be talking about his latest book, which is called Write, Write from God, Your Words, Writing, and Your Divine Purpose. And when Tom talks about God, he's talking about Source or whatever it means to you. Tom is an author's oracle. He is a crystal clear, heartfelt voice crying out to the 81% of us who feel we have books stuck inside. Tom's books and lectures are direct to the point and always entertaining, offering us exactly what we need to overcome the obstacles of writing and publishing in the easiest, most successful, and effective ways possible. Over the last 3 decades, Tom has shared his Tom Bird method with over 80,000 aspiring authors at more than 120 of the finest colleges and universities in the U.S., including the College of William and Mary, Duke, and the University of Arizona. So Tom's going to share all this information with you and tell us how he does this and why he does this. So let me introduce him to you. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Great, Randy. It's great to be here this morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and thank you for being my guest today. So What started you on this journey?
I wanted to be an author since I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a writer since before I could read books. And so I tried every conventional method possible to become the author I was meant to be and nothing seemed to work. So one evening I came home from my job as a publicist with the Pittsburgh Pirates after a game and kind of had like a mini nervous breakdown. I just started bawling uncontrollably. And after I got control of my emotions, I realized that I was crying out of frustration because I tried everything possible to become the author I was meant to be, and nothing had worked. So I got down on my knees that night, and I asked for divine guidance, and I made the promise that if I was shown how to write books, that I would share that method with whoever I could find for the rest of my life. And two nights later, I woke up in the middle of a dream, and in that dream, I could see exactly what I needed to do to be the author I felt I already was. And I put that into play. And 4 weeks later, sold my first book, tripled my salary, and quit my job and began teaching and writing for a living. And so that was 32 years ago. And over that period of time, I've, as you mentioned, I worked with over 85,000 new authors. And I've discovered a lot of things. These authors have become my best teachers. They've taught me that the reason they want to write is because they've got books stuck inside them that they need to get out. And as you mentioned in your introduction, according to the New York Times, 81% of us feel as if we have a book stuck inside of us that we have to get out. So my job, Randy, has been to help authors connect with that book, get out of their own way, logistically and logically get out of their own way, and connect with that book and let that book release itself through them. And so they're not really creating books, they're releasing books that have already been written. And when they let that book come through, as you mentioned in your introduction as well, a lot of things happen. These authors write books, they become best-selling authors, but more than that, they heal, and which I know is the topic of your show this morning. They heal because it's a divine experience when one writes a book using the method that I share. And it's like being in the company of God, source, higher power, whatever you want to call He, sure it, for 3.5 days straight, and you can't help but heal. Emotional wounds are healed, physical wounds are healed, relationship wounds are healed, perspective wounds are healed. And so that's what I'm witness to dozens of times a year. And so I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in.
You really are. And, you know, what I wonder is, so a lot of people are writing their books. Are all these books meant to be read by others, or is it really about the personal experience?
They're meant to be read by others. Books are like children. It's not enough to birth them because they want to live. They've got a purpose to live on their own, and books are meant to be read by others. So publication becomes a very important part of that ingredient for the author to achieve and acquire that peace and fulfillment that we all seek. Publication is essential.
Okay. Now, you know, I, as a radio show host, I get queried by a lot of people, and memoirs are flooding the publishing market. And I know even with mine, people are tired of reading other people's stories. So why do people understand that they may not become an overnight sensation?
Well, they do, but I think what's the most important thing to keep in mind is that for authors, that readers buy our hearts.
You're fading out, Tom. Hearts. I can't hear you.
They buy our hearts. The most important thing to keep in mind is that these readers want a touch of our hearts. That's what they're looking for. Can you hear me okay now, Randy?
Yeah, it's better. It's better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I switched locations. So what they really want to buy is they want to be inspired. They want to be invigorated. They want to be touched by us. And it doesn't really matter so much what we write as how we write it, because they buy the messenger before they buy the message. And so that's why it's important to write a book in a spiritual sense and channel it through one's heart. Because as you can see, in today's world, there's a lot of poorly written books that become bestsellers. And they become bestsellers because on a literary basis, they may not be adequate. But on a feeling basis, which is what our readers care most about, they are profound. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does make sense. I find that to be very frustrating. You know, some of these books that make it to the New York Times bestseller list, some of them are really, I'm sorry, but they're trash. And I do read a lot of very good books because I get a book from pretty much everybody, every guest that comes on. Not all of them have books, but most of them do, and I read them. You know, and there's a lot of really good writers out there, and it frustrates me too that you know that they don't get the recognition that they deserve. But that's just the way it is.
Oftentimes they're not writing from their hearts. They're very good on revision, but they're not good on heart. You know, the best-selling book of the modern age is 50 Shades of Grey, which I think everyone agrees is a very poorly written book. But yet it spikes emotions in its readers, and that's why it's so well-read. And that's our job, is to share who we are from a heartfelt perspective. So it's not refinement that's as important.
Okay. All right. I believe
in expression with refinement, but there are plenty of authors succeeding just on expression alone.
Right. Right. So, you know, I know that I had years and years of notes and, you know, all kinds of memorabilia that I was able to look back on to be able to recall everything. And it took me quite a while to write this book. How do you get people to do this in a weekend?
Well, I help them return to an innate spiritual state. If we could assume, and we do assume because this is what my education has taught me, that the book is already written, waiting on the other side of life, it's a spiritual entity. So when you tap into that book, it comes out of you very quickly because it's bodiless. It's just pure inspiration. And if an author is willing to write at a speed that accommodates that release of that book in its totality, in its entirety, then the book writes itself very quickly. For example, my authors at a retreat, their average writing speed is just over 2,500 words per hour. And so the average length of an adult American book by a first-time author in today's world is 35,000 words. So that means that it would take that author anywhere between 12 and 14 hours to write that book. Now, you may say, you know, there's a doubting Thomas in all of us, no pun intended, that says things like, well, if you write a book that fast, it's going to be crap. Well, they forget that the book that they are releasing, not creating, has had its length of maturity on the other side of life. It's matured like a fine wine on the other side of life. And the faster you write it, the less time you have to think. And 98% of mistakes we could make as authors are directly attributed to inappropriate left brain intervention. So the faster we write, the better the book's going to come out. So that's how we do it. The retreat is broken into phases. Pre-retreat preparation, which is designed as a cathartic step to help authors get out of their own ways before the retreat. Then the retreat is designed to help them facilitate the writing of that book. And then third of all, revision. Revision has actually begun with the retreat. Our retreats start on Thursday nights, and they go through Sunday afternoons. And 97% of our authors who attend retreats finish their books on the weekend. And 90% of those who will finish books at the retreat, finish your books by 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And it's all about writing speed. The faster, the less time you have to think. So you become pure inspiration. You merge directly with the inspiration that's represented by the book. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. It does. Now, you know, what I wonder is if you can tap into that source for that purpose, can you tap into that source for other purposes in your life?
Absolutely.
Because if that's connecting you directly to spirit, and you have that all that communication coming in, can you learn to do that for other reasons?
Absolutely. That's why you still write every day. It's because your way of tapping in directly to the source.
Okay.
And so it's a way for you to reconnect with your higher self on a consistent basis and to learn to live through that higher source in your life. So I think one of the biggest benefits of one of my retreats is authors learn to live the writing lifestyle. And that means getting connected, staying connected, enjoying being connected, and living through being connected at all times. And again, that's why you write every day now. It's for that same exact purpose.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that's my connection. Well, I have other connections, but that's one of them. Okay.
Well, there's many ways to connect, but, you know, writing is one of the easiest ways because when you do it effectively, you come directly through the right brain, which is a direct connector to the God source. So it's an easy way to do it. And most of us are confident in the physical act of writing, so we don't resist the process. And the results we get are so life-changing so quickly that it becomes positively addictive. So it's a natural conduit to a spiritual side and lifestyle that most of us deserve to live from.
That's true. So you walk into these college classes, and you know, you've taught so many people. Now, I would imagine that the people that come to your retreats are coming with that open mind about connecting with their spiritual self or, you know, this higher self. But when you go into college classrooms, is there resistance from some people that, you know, when you talk about spirituality and connecting with that source, are some people resistant to that?
To tell you the truth, I wouldn't say people come with open minds nor open hearts to either my classes, lectures, or retreats. They come with desperation. They are kind of like a reflection of me when I was at their stage. They were wanting to write for a long time. Nothing's worked. And, yeah, this sounds crazy what this guy's talking about, but good success rate, so I'm going to try it. So it's desperation that brings them into my classes and retreats, Randy. It's not faith and openness. It's desperation. And, you know, there's an old saying that nobody changes till things get so painful that they have to. Those are the people that come into my retreats. They've tried to outrun writing. They've tried to disinvolve themselves from it, and it's not gone away. And they just have to finally do something about it, and that's when they show up. So it's desperation that leads them into my classes.
Right. How often do you have these retreats, and where do you have them?
Most of them are based in Sedona, Arizona. This year we'll do 4 of them in Sedona. We did 1 in Florida. We'll do another one in Louisville, Kentucky. And then I have 2, I'll offer this year 2 week-long retreats for a limited group of 8 people each. And in those retreats, we write your book, revise your book, review your book, and ready your book for publication all in 1 week in the course of 7 10-hour days. So I guess we'll have about 9 retreats this year.
Wow. What do you do? This must be so emotional for people to be able to be bringing up this stuff. You know, do you have people crying all over the place?
Well, you know, yes. Yes to your question. We go through an average, our retreats sell out normally at 63 live students, and we get 30 or 40 remote students. But for the 63 live students, we normally go through 24 boxes of tissues. So everybody cries at a retreat, you know, but the harder stuff, the real interpersonal work, the real gut-wrenching, letting go, releasing stuff, they actually do before the retreat. We have them prepare for the retreat through a series of exercises that gets to the heart of a lot of issues. So they don't get to the retreat and break down completely. They just cry. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think that the tears, I'd say 75% of tears that are cried at a retreat are tears of recognition and joy more than breakdowns. Because they're recovering a bit of themselves that they didn't know they lost. This side of themselves has always been with them, so there's been a lot of regret. And they're just welcoming that side of themselves back into their lives. So it's tears of recognition and joy more than sorrow.
That's great. That's great. I think that's great. Can you give us some kind of idea of like how you would take somebody through this process?
Sure. Well, when somebody wants to sign up for a retreat, they call my office and they're given a gentle interview to make sure it's correct for them. And once they've signed up, they're given an itinerary review where they spend an hour on the phone with one of my retreat preparation people. And then the author begins to prepare for the retreat on their own. We have a series of exercises we'd like them to complete before the retreat. The retreat exercises take anywhere from 12 to 20 hours. They can be done slowly and continually over a long period of time, or at the last minute, doesn't really matter. And then they show up at the retreat, and as well prepared as they are, everyone's nervous. You know, it's kind of funny. People talk a lot when they're nervous, and so you get 60-some people in a room that have never met each other, and they're talking like crazy because they're all really nervous. And on Thursday, we asked that everyone be at the retreat at 4:30. Amazingly, most people are right on time. And they'll be starting the writing of their books by 4:50 that day. We write into the evening. We have a dinner break. Then we have 2 full days of writing, Friday and Saturday. And they go from those day sessions go from 7:30 to 6:30 every day. And on Sunday, we have a short session from 11 to 2. And like I said, just about 90% of our authors finish their books by Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. The minute an author finishes revision, the writing of the book, they go into revision classes with me. And so we start talking about revision. We get them revising their books before they leave. And so then when they go home with a thorough and complete plan of exactly what they need to do to complete the revision of the books and exactly what they need to do to publish their books if that's the direction they want to move in. So I'm into building independence. I love it that people come to my retreats, and I love it when they return, but I don't want them to have to return because they didn't learn properly because I've goaded them into returning. At every retreat, we have about 20 returning students. They return because it's the best place for them to write books. It's the easiest way to get away from their families, their friends, their responsibilities, and the distractions of life. And so they come and they write their books at the retreats. So, you know, for me personally, I don't worry about books being written. Our success rate is so high and our system is so proven at this point that I don't concern myself a lot with that. The books will be written. What turns me on at the retreats, Randy, is the soul evolution and release I see people go through. I see them walk in as one person. I see them walk out as a completely different person, which makes me feel great.
Oh, I could see that. That must be so, so fulfilling to see people make that kind of progress or go within, you know, that far within. Or yeah. Is this something where on it, you know, when you go to sleep that you lose that connection and then you have to sort of reconnect each day through a process?
Well, we were born as infants. We were born right-brained, God-connected. But we live in a left-brain society, so we've been trained to be left-brained, to think before we feel. So it's something right now for the average human being that they have to tap into on a consistent basis to merge back into who they were as opposed to who they've become. You know, I really feel the biggest byproduct of my retreats is that people leave and they realize that they need to change their life, help the good for self. They truly are as opposed to who they became. That makes sense. The night writing becomes a lifestyle for them. The experience of the retreat becomes the focus of each one of the day. When they write like you do every day, and they know it.
But you're breaking up. Tom, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, they realize at some point they won't have to write to be connected. But for a while, for me, 3.5 years, I had to write every day until I became more cognizant of where I needed to be, where I wanted to be, and it became more natural for me. So they realize that. It becomes a lifestyle for them. And it affects every aspect of their lifestyle, their families, their friends, their jobs, their purposes, their health, everything it affects positively. So I'm just blessed to be able to contribute in such a meaningful way with what I do.
Are people, I know by the time I finish a book, but for me, it's not a weekend process. For me, it's a long process, especially since I do research and things like that for my books. But are people tired by the end? Are they exhausted, or are they exhilarated?
They are at peace. You know, you would normally think that, you know, the average length of time that a person has been wanting to write a book before they show up on one of my retreats is 22 years.
Wow.
So you would think when they finish their book, they'd be exhilarated, like you're saying. They're not. they're at peace. And the comments I hear normally are, after they finish the book, is, you know, I came here and did what I was meant to do. They don't mean come to the retreat. What they mean is I came to life and I did what I was meant to do, releasing this message through this method. And
do some people have a hard time with the concept of God and Source and spirituality?
No. No, they don't. Especially after they
that
meet
is truly
I'm
amazing.
Such an average guy. Because I'm such an average guy. And you brought up an interesting topic, research. So I believe, and I show this in my teaching, that research is extremely valuable, but it's post-writing research we focus on. We assume that the book is already in the author, and all the author has to do is tap into it and let it out. And then after the book has been released through that author, then you go back and do your research on the filling in the gaps of information, facts, figures, understandings that you left while you were writing the book. So we focus on post-writing research. It's amazing the people that come to my retreats that have been working on books for, no exaggeration, decades. And when I ask them, well, what have you been doing for this book? I've been researching it. What they don't realize is that 98% of the information they collect intellectually before the writing of the book doesn't make it into the final draft of the book. So research oftentimes becomes a form of procrastination. So we approach it from a much more faithful perspective. The reason you want to write is because God wants you to write, because God wants you to connect with he or she through writing, and there's a divine message that needs to be birthed through you, and you agree to do this. And so we release the book, and then, you know, some books look like Swiss cheese. They got a lot of holes in them, you know, informational holes. But it makes the researching so much easier when you know specifically what you need to research and just fill in the gaps, as opposed to using it as a form of procrastination. So that's
okay.
The biggest. We come from the assumption that the book is already written. Yeah, there's going to be some informational gaps, but that's the perspective we come from.
Right. I mean, when I write, I find that it's best to get out of my own way, and that's really, you know, when I do my best work. You know, when I feel like I'm blocked, I just say, okay, you know, what is it you want me to say? And generally it comes through. The other thing that I find that happens is I can sit and sit and sit and can't get anywhere. I get up to take a shower, and all of a sudden it floods out of me, and I'm writing with a pen on wet paper, you know, trying to get all these thoughts down. So I understand what that feels like to have that flow through you, and it is an absolute amazing experience. It's very, very freeing.
Well, this morning I've got to drive. I'm going to run some errands, and I'm going to get in my car. And if I just sat in that car, nothing would happen. I have to turn the car on. And so sitting doesn't do anything, you know, for anybody. You know, Waiting for Godot was the most boring play of all time because all these guys do is sit and wait for God all the time. You got to turn the car on. So we teach people how to turn the car on, and then the car drives itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so sitting isn't enough. Making time is great, but showing up means turning on the engine. And the reason the shower works is Power works is because that's most cases where we're alone and we feel intimate with ourselves. And also the cleansing water cleanses our auras and cleans out the resistance. So that's why so many inspirations come to us in the shower. That's why people want to be around water so much, because it's a cleansing of the aura and a relaxation that follows. And when you relax, the mind relaxes, and then automatically your left brain falls away and your right brain can take over. So water is a very important part of the process. But we don't have everybody take a shower to get relaxed. We have other methods we use. But it's simple. You got to turn on the car.
Yeah. This is a very, very cool technique. I mean, I know this has been handed to you, so it cannot be wrong. It's got to be perfect. So, Tom,
I've been waiting for it to be wrong for years, and it just keeps proving me right. So, because it goes against everything I was taught about writing, everything, completely everything. Everything I read or heard or been taught about writing it's gone completely against that. And so there's a part of me that's been waiting for this method to go wrong, but it continually proves itself to be right over and over and over again with every retreat that I offer.
Yes, I think that's just amazing, and I just think that must be something to witness. So, Tom, at this point, is there anything that we haven't talked about or anything we haven't covered that you think is real important to talk about?
Yeah, there's a few things I want to mention, Randy, that I really feel would most benefit your listeners. And
okay.
First of all, I want to tell them that if they have struggled with writing in any way, shape, or form, it's not because something is wrong with them. It's because something's wrong with the system that they're employing. And our educational system, as hard working as it is, as hard working as the people are involved in it, quite frankly, they just teach writing from a backwards perspective. They teach writing as an intellectual art form, which a sliver of it is, but pretty much it's, first of all, an inspirational art form, an emotional art form, mental art form, and a physical art form. And until we bring all four of those aspects together into one thrust forward to connect with that divine source, nothing's going to work. So if somebody's experienced difficulty with writing or failure with writing or frustration with writing, the good news is nothing's wrong with them. Something's wrong with the system. And so my system actually does pretty much the opposite of what we've been taught in school, and it works perfectly. You know, we've all been in situations before where we've been trying something over and over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't work. And then finally, out of frustration or enlightenment or whatever we want to call it, we do something we approach the same topic the opposite way, and it works. That's what I do. I see writing as an inspirational art form, not an intellectual art form. And it works, because books don't come through the intellect. They come through the heart. They come through the right brain. They come through the author within. So, again, if any of you authors out there have been struggling with writing, good news is there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the system that you've employed, and all you have to do is employ a different system. Second point I want to make is the reason you want to write. Now, I'm not the only person that felt this way. Again, the New York Times believes 81% of Americans feel they have a book stuck inside them that they need to get out. If you want to write, it's because there is a book stuck inside you that you need to get out. Third point is, if you connect with that book, you release that book. You release the book. You don't have to create it. There's so much unworthiness, so many unworthiness issues that go with creation. You don't have to create anything. You just have to show up, turn on the car, and drive it out of the garage, and it'll drive itself from that point forward. Fourth point, you can write a book really fast. In fact, the faster you write a book, the better the book will be. Because the faster you write a book, the less time you will have to think, edit, or judge, which is our adversary at this point of inspiration. The adversary of inspiration is judgment. So the faster you write that book, the better and more inspirational you write it. Second of all, the reason you want to write fast is because the faster you write, the more divinely you connect with directly with that book, so it can download itself from the divine side of life. So those are the major points I'd like to leave with your listeners this morning, Randy, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share them.
Oh, yeah, you're very welcome. Very welcome. This is so curious to me because it is so different than, you know, like I said, I've experienced the process of the flowing through me, but it's also a very different, you know, approach. And it's so curious to me. My mind is just, I've got all kinds of questions going on in there, like, you know, how would I do this?
Eckhart Tolle, one of the greatest authors of our time, he sat on a park bench every day for 8 hours waiting for the inspiration to come. And when the book finally came, the truth is he could have sat there for 3 days and got it done in 3 days as opposed to 3 years. But it's a reaching out. You see, God's always reaching out to us, okay? And all we have to do is just reach up and our hands connect and we're one. We're one again. But if you wait till God reaches you, you may be waiting a long time because God's got arms are only so long too. So all I have to do is just reach up. And that's what the starting of the engine equates to. That means quieting the left brain and allowing the consciousness to transfer to the God side, the right side of us, and to connect immediately because it always returns back to the source once free of the logical confines of our everyday lives.
This is such a, it must be such a beautiful experience for everyone involved. Do you have a website, Tom?
Yes. My website is tombird.com, T-O-M-B-I-R-D.com.
Okay, and on there you've got a bunch of freebies going on. What kind of things can people get on your site?
Thanks for noticing that, Randy. Well, my teaching has gone in a lot of different directions. This has become a ministry for me. So I tithe a tenth of my products and my services for free. And so you'll find on my website, you'll find copies of my books that you can download for free, copies of CDs, copies of lectures. Basically, I'd love people to come to my retreats, but the truth of the matter is if they can't afford to, they can go to my website and download enough information to be able to write their books using my method on their own. So this is more than a business for me. This is a ministry, and I believe my job is to help people lead themselves back to the divine connection that calls out to all of us directly. Not through a church, not through a book, not through a play, not through somebody else, not through a channeler, but directly from the author to God again, to form that divine connection again. So if you go to my website, you'll see hundreds of video testimonials by authors have come through my classes. You'll find books, you'll find CDs, you'll find lectures, you'll find everything you need to really get to know the system very well.
And but you also sell your books, correct? Do you sell them?
Oh, yeah, they're for sale as well, too. They're for sale as well, too.
You got to make a living, right?
Well, I'm in a position, following God's path for me, I'm in a position that I can give a lot of things away and afford to give a lot of things away because I've become very well off financially by following God's methods for my life. So I give a lot away, and I'm proud of the fact that I can afford to give away. But my books are still for sale. The older ones are up there. I give away a different book for free every month. And because I believe this is not my legacy, not my inheritance. It's what I share for authors is all of our inheritances. So it needs to be given away. People need to be able to afford it one way or another.
Right. And you're a vessel for this information. You're a vessel that brings it to others.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, however you want to say it, right? Whatever word you want to put to it. Okay, so, and one more question that I have. So, does the title reveal itself to everyone?
Yes, eventually.
Eventually.
Usually an author goes through a series of titles, working titles, as their ability to evolve and understand their book much better. A series of titles comes out. And ultimately, the final title comes out during revision or the formatting of the book at the end. But normally, an author will go through 6 or 7 working titles from the conception of the idea to the finished product of the published book. And, I really feel that the book is really deciding upon its own title, too. So it's the author and the book. They're discussing what title works best. And as they get to know each other better, and as they get to know each other, they come up with different versions, more enlightened versions of how they see each other. So as you can see, my whole teaching is based around turning things over to God and turning things over to the book, and everything will be fine. And to be honest with you, I think if more of us did that with our lives, our lives would go a lot smoother too. We are an essential part of this thing called life, but we're just a part. We're not the whole engine. We're the spark plugs maybe. And our lives function only well when we connect with the divine and bring that divine into existence in human form. And that's what I feel all of our goals should be. And a book is a damn divine.
I completely agree with you. When we accept that we don't have to control every single thing that goes on in our life, we can let it go and understand that we are spiritual beings living a human experience. Life flows so much better, but so many people are trying to cling so tightly to control, and it really works the opposite, doesn't it, Tom?
Well, surrender is the key, surrendering to a diviner purpose. I mean, the most important thing I know is that I don't know very much, but I know that I want to know, and so my job is every morning I get up and I tune in, make sure my radio station's tuned in properly, and I go where the inspiration leads me that day. And so it's really about surrender, and surrender to our divine purpose, surrender to our divine soul, surrendering in this case what we're talking about to your book. And a book is a great way to go through this system, practice this understanding, and put it into play in one's life.
Well said. Well said. And on that note, we are coming down to the end of the show, so I have to say goodbye to you. This has been really fascinating to me, and I'm sure fascinating to my listeners. And there's got to be lots of people out there that are saying, oh, finally, finally I can get this book written. So that's a relief. So we're talking to Tom Bird today, and he's written many books. The one that I have in my hand is called Write, W-R-I-T-E, Write from God, R-I-G-H-T, from God, Tom Bird, T-O-M-B-I-R-D, and his website is also tombird.com. Thank you, Tom, for being my guest today and sharing this amazing system with us, and keep up the good work. You're doing beautiful, beautiful things. You're a light worker.
Thank you, Randy, and I'd like to invite you to attend one of my retreats as a guest, if you'd like, at any time that you'd like.
Oh, I would love that.
And we'd love to have you at a retreat, and you can come as my guest.
Oh, thank you. I live in Florida. You said you did one in Florida. Where did you do it in Florida?
Melbourne. I'll be in both Miami and Melbourne next March. But if you can't
wait,
the
other place?
I'll be either in Miami or Melbourne in early March of next 2007.
Of the following year. Okay. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, yes. So I'm right in the middle of both. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. I will take you up on that. I would love to see this in person. All right.
Great.
Well, I appreciate you being my guest today, and thank you. Have a wonderful, beautiful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE.com, and my website is also randygfine.com. My website has every link to everything I do, every show on this Blog Talk Radio station. Hundreds of articles. There's a page about my counseling services, and lots of really great things for you to find there. You could probably spend all day going through it and enjoying. So come and visit me on randygfine.com. I spoke about writing my book, so I have just finished the manuscript for Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, which is a book about healing from pathological narcissistic abuse. And I find a lot of people out there are suffering from this, so I'm real excited to get this book out there. I don't know when it'll be, but I'll keep you posted. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
But we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be the change. Be the change. There's a better way.